Welcome to the Recruiter Startup Podcast. My name's Dolta Doherty, and in this podcast series, I will be speaking to investors, advisors, entrepreneurs, and recruiters who are based all over the world, and we'll be discussing how to set up, scale, and operate a world-class recruitment company. Today's guest has been on before. His name is Tris Revel, so we welcome him back with open arms, like the recruitment community does. He's a recruiter, community builder, and an international public speaker, an internet loudmouth, he calls himself. He runs a growth hacking community group for recruiters, Growth Hacking Recruiters, on Facebook, which is why I wanted to bring him on today. We had a bit of a scattered roundabout discussion on how to build communities, how he goes about it, what advice he has for me whenever I launch my own Facebook group, what I should stay away from doing, what I should probably try and do. And we just had a general chat about his life, his career, and the way he sees the world. He's a unique character. He gives a unique perspective on things. And this will be one of his many appearances on the podcast. Always, always, always has an opinion. And that's what we like here. So big thanks to Tris for coming on the podcast. And thank you, everybody, for listening and for all the feedback that we've been given. And it really, really means the world to us. And if you could send this podcast to a recruiter out there that might be setting up their own recruitment business or wants to sharpen up their game a little bit, then that would be great. International man of mystery.
I've always dreamed of being called that.
The one, the only, the community builder, the public speaker, the sorcerer, the one and only, Tris Revel, making your second appearance on the Recruiter Startup Podcast.
And thank you very much for having me.
Is that the greatest intro you've ever had?
I think so. Seriously. That was amazing. Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be back. I loved our last show. I thought it was awesome.
It was awesome. But this one, we're going to get cozy here. Get your slippers on.
Okay. Actually, I'm in my shorts. I've been for a swim at lunchtime.
You don't have a real job, do you?
That's what I became a CEO for, right?
Well, let's discover that. Talk to me about how you became the hipster sorcerer, extraordinaire CEO, community builder that you are. How'd you get into the industry?
Pretty typical like background, you know. I was a chef. I trained in the Michelin star restaurants and did that for 5 years. I went into commercial chefing. I had an agent guy, recruiter. I was like, dude, I can do his job. And I tried to get a job in a recruitment agency and they wouldn't take me because I didn't have any sales skills. So I did door-to-door sales for 11 months. Did really good at that. Ended up with a team of 14 people and got headhunted to go and join an agency. Then I did what? Two different agencies, 2.5 years, best quarter was like 160 grand. Took that big paycheck after the end of that quarter. I was always taught by my sales directors, always leave on a high. So I left on that high and I went to Blipper and I did in-house recruitment. And right at that time, there was this little community called Talent Hackers, which was starting up. And I just got involved with those guys. And that turned into DBR, which is the world's biggest in-house recruiter community. And I actually quit DBR this year because I'm no longer an in-house recruiter.
What's DBR?
DBR is a Slack community for in-house recruiters globally. It has about 2,500 members. They run meetups, they run a YouTube channel, and they talk to each other all the time.
OK, Okay, so for lonely in-house recruiters.
Yeah, startups specifically, and it was Hung Lee's idea.
Was it?
Yeah, originally, and he invited me and like three or four other people to drinks in the Dragon Bar, which is quite called DBR because it's dragons, beers, and recruiters. And we all used to hang out and drink and share problems. And I think like that's where my real kind of interest in communities comes from, like from seeing that work and understanding why that worked as well. And also, you know, I've been geeky about the internet since I was a kid. I was on MySpace coding flashy backgrounds and little robots to get more friends.
So Hung Lee kind of give you that intro into what it was like to build a community. Is that fair to say that?
Yeah, definitely. 100%.
So have you studied a lot of what he's done?
Yeah, I've been a huge fan and a huge follower, and now someone I count as a good friend. And what he does is a little bit different to what I do. I'm
All I
always
see him
trying
doing is posting about how many press-ups he can do. What's that
to.
all
Yeah.
about?
I think that's him airing his personal challenges, right? And that's him building rhythm. And you know, I think a lot of people's, and even I get this. I think a lot of people think that like everything comes to easy to us because you know we have the right networks and we know the right people. But it's not. It's just as much hard work. We just work in a different way to most people.
Yeah, also you've stayed within the same space for a number of years, and you got to start young enough as well. So all those things add up. I always remember when I was an agency recruiter, if I suppose I still am, but when I was a real one, and I remember I had this role on where it was an IT sales role, and I interviewed so many people, and they were all like these tired old real estate salespeople or construction salespeople that had 1,000 di different types of sales jobs, and they just had no credibility because they didn't stay in the one space, and that terrified me to go outside of the one thing that I kind of figured out. Oh, I can kind of do this.
I think you're right. I think so. And to remember, like, what my specialty was recruiting for startups. And I did that when I was in my first agency job. I started recruiting for startups then because I was really interested in that personally. And I think one of the things that recruiters forget is that your success comes from being interested in the area that you actually recruit for.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's led you to building lots of talent communities. How does what you do now fit in with your recruiting?
I still hire people every day. I
But
still
is
take
it
briefs and write job ads.
but I mean, are you
And
are are you because you're very involved in, the growth hacking community. Growth hacking recruiters is your thing, and you obviously mentioned about the internal recruitment group that you were part of as well. That seems to be a big part of your life. Is that a big part of your business life as well, or is what you're recruiting for with startups more like developers or tech people? How does that break down in terms of what you're up to?
Yeah, so normally, well, I work with startups and I help them when they're right at that beginning. I really like it right at the beginning, early stages, when they're maybe three or four people. I met a client today and they're two co-founders and they're looking to hire their first three or four people. And I hire developers, I hire salespeople, and I hire recruiters. And actually, those people that join a business at that really early stage have already quite often had a successful career and start to get involved in communities, and they want to start something or they want to be involved in something right at the beginning. And that's who approaches me. That's like the talent magnet that I've become because I add value to those people, I help them out, I share my information, I share my stuff with them. they come to me and they say, Tris, can you help me find a job? And 99% of the time I can't. I just send them some information or make some introductions. And when I want to find those people, I can very quickly and very easily. For example, today I picked up a very senior head of growth for a startup role. And I know those people already because I'm following them, I'm friends with them, I've spoken to them. We've grown together, and I think that long-term investment, I never had that when I was agency side. I never had that when I was starting out in my career. But what I've learned is that building those long-term relationships comes back to you. So you can, that's how you make the big fees in recruiting, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I wouldn't know. My fees are tiny. And that's why I'm speaking to you to figure out what I can do to make more money. How I can get out of this caravan that I live in, you know? It's
I'm pretty sure it's not a caravan.
I did live in a caravan once though. When I was picking beans in Australia, we lived in a caravan for 3 months. It was an interesting journey. And I was in the field. And it was next to an Indonesian woman. And I said to her, she says to, she said, "What are you going to do next?" And I said, "I don't know. I think we should get her." She said, "My sister's earning 100 grand a year as a cleaner in Perth. There's a thing called a mining boom happening." And I was like, "What? What is mining? How does that?" Straight on the internet, saw the beach, so read about mining, ended up in recruitment. And that's where we got started. So that's my little caravan anecdote. Let me jump into how you've managed to build communities and how you would advise other people to, because lots of us start Facebook groups and LinkedIn groups, and most of us do it badly, and you do it very well. What would you say is a step-by-step process to doing it really well? And maybe I'll jump in with a couple of questions.
So I think the first thing is the reason why you're doing it. If you're doing it to engage with candidates and you're doing it to make money out of them, it's never going to work. You're always going to be seen by the community as someone who's preying on that community.
That's a fine
So
line, isn't it?
it's a really fine line. It's a really, really, really fine line. And I think the only way that you can do it really well as a recruiter is to prove how invested you are in that community.
Interesting. It's a really good point. So when I think of the ones that I'm in on Facebook, there's your group, which really works. And I appreciate you're never selling anything. So that makes me feel more comfortable in there. And then there's DSP's group, and he's been on the podcast a few times. He's a great guy. He's constantly selling. He doesn't stop selling, but he gives away a lot of information as well. But yet the community still really buy into what he's selling because he's giving away so much of the information. So maybe he's bridged that gap where they don't feel too threatened.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I want to develop this year, and I wrote about this on my blog this week, I really got to make money from growth hacking recruiters somehow, like for the amount of time that I invest in it. And apart from, the recognition, the clients, the inbound candidates that I get, like how can I add value to the community and still, make it make money? But this, I think if you're starting a community today, everyone is going to see through it. Unless like they're gonna just see they're just gonna you're so transparent, right? Like everyone can see who you are on the internet, everyone can see what your journey is. So if you're a recruiter and you're like, I want to start a community for data scientists, how do you add value to that? Well, probably don't start the community for data scientists. Instead, go and add value to other, and I keep on using add value. It's such a Gary Vee thing. I know you love him. So do I. What I'm talking about is helping people. Like what I'm talking about is like when I say add value, I'm saying like what makes people come to the community and show up every day. And that's really, really important. Like, why do you show up every day on DSP's community? Is it because the people are in there? Is it because the audience he has and that's useful for you? Is it because of the content? And I think everyone in a community wants to get something out of it. Like, you have to understand that straight away. So, as DBR, it was about connecting in-house recruiters and helping them. And DBR, what that does is it gives in-house recruiters a way to talk to each other. And that's what they get out of it. For growth hacking recruiters, people get tips and tricks on how to grow out of it. And that's why they show up, and that's why they continue to contribute. And that's why, I mean, we're hitting 1800 active members, which and so and that's, I suppose, for me, that's really, really important. It's not just the vanity metric of how many members, but how many people are actually active every 7 days in that group. So that's the most important thing that I look at. And I think that's the thing, like, you've got to understand why do they come to this community. So, and you kind of like go back to, I always think about going back to the old internet, right? And like the old internet, like web 1.0, before there was all this like community, like this stuff. Like, I learned about coding from going on Stack Overflow and reading people's answers to questions and questions. And that was the world's biggest community of developers. And that's why I went there. And that's what I was getting out of it. And that's why I started to contribute on it. And, it's the same with Twitter. Like, I go on Twitter and I have a following on Twitter, but I go there to learn stuff. And that's why I show up. So if
This
I
is
understand.
a this is another Gary V rant, by the way. He was just ranting about it yesterday. He doesn't consume people's comments. He doesn't consume people's content. What he does is consume the comments on everything to learn what is current, what people are thinking, and how that can be applied to what he wants to do next.
And I think you have to stay away from content and only look at comments. And as a community, if you want to build communities, like, I'm 100% there with him. Like, if you want to build communities, you're going to spend more time in the comments than anywhere else. Like, we spend time building the posts and making them look good, and they're optimized, and they make you react, and they make you engage. But really, I'm in those comments learning like everyone else is. I'm inviting people into that community that I know are better than me so that I can learn from them. And having the humility to do that and actually converse with people, most people get that wrong. Like, most, and that's not to pick on Animal, but like, Animal's so shouty in his group that he's moved away from comments. And I think that's when his group was great last year and a couple of years before, because it was all about the comments. And that seems to have stopped recently.
I've got my own kind of like, I feel like Animals group a lot of the time is like going in a time machine to the 60s, and some of it's good, some of it's like, some of it just it's like turning on the TV and watching Glengarry Glen Ross, and that kind of like, I can have a look sometimes, but then I usually disagree with everything that's being said, and they're obsessed with the telephone. It's just it's and he's obsessed with asking questions to corner people into saying they don't use the telephone so everybody can jump on it, and he's a nice guy. There's lots of good people in those groups, but I feel there's a generational gap between what your group is and what his is, and maybe the DSP's one that I'm in, it's more just independent agency recruiters, so it's slightly different again. That's just me from the outside looking in. I don't know. I could be
That's
wrong.
the reality of recruitment today, though, is that there's this group of people that are like at the top, what, 10% of the industry, maybe top 5% of the industry, that are really, like, all about, retargeting their candidates and OSINT skills and scraping stuff and all of that kind of crazy stuff. And then on the other end, that's like, not even, I don't, I think, I don't know a number, but I'm saying like 5%, 10%. I mean, it could be 1%. I am still working with clients that have CV binders of paper CVs that they've kept around for 3 years.
Yeah, that's crazy, isn't it?
Like, recruitment still happens like that. Like, if you go even in the biggest and the best tech companies, like, you go and look at their recruitment systems, and it looks like something was built in the 70s. Like, that is the actual reality of what's happening in the world of recruitment. We can get on this podcast, we can talk about the future, but the reality of what every recruiter lives is that they go to work and they've got crap technology and they've got crap leadership and they genuinely have no one to inspire them. And I think that's something you've done amazingly well, and something that I hope and I aspire to do, and something that Hung Lee does every day is really is elevating the level of the industry. Like, the you know I'm getting paid stupid money by clients that make 10 million quid turnover a year to go and say to them, use here's how to use Facebook ads, here's how to use LinkedIn, like here's how to search, like here's how to run a search on LinkedIn via Google. And most people don't know how to do that still. Like, and the problem is, like, we seem to be in this, like, I don't know if it's a bubble of recruiters that are really kind of engaged and care about their craft, or if there's a bubble of recruitment leadership out there that are really stuck in the old-fashioned days, and they're saying, no, technology doesn't exist. The iPhone doesn't matter anymore.
So I'm pretty out of the loop when it comes to dealing with internal recruiters or even speaking to them. So I can't really comment on that. But on the agency side, things aren't going to change until the way we sell recruitment companies change. So like yesterday, I had a guy called James Baker on the podcast, and he's developed a fully retained model that offers 1 year guarantees, that the psychometric test everything, and he's got all the technology there to do the sourcing, to do the fit, and I'm not doing it justice describing it, but it's completely the different way of thinking from a tra oh he's priced it accordingly as well, so it's about 30% on the fees. So where his cost of that would be 10%, or from probably about, like, so from 20% would be what he'd make, the next 10% would be probably what the psychometric would cost, and what the guarantee for the year and all of that. And he's retaining more and more business because of that, because he's not seen as a necessary evil. But most recruitment companies out there are still built to throw loads of grads at it, go mad big business as fast as they can in a big call center where you're not really learned how to source properly. You're just, here's your list of numbers, like call, get as many as you can, be niche with it, whatever, but just it's all about activity, get that done. Those companies are being built for a sale very quick, and people are still buying those companies. So until they don't become v the valuable way of building a business, things won't change.
And you know what? I don't even think those people building those businesses are doing anything wrong. They're just taking an opportunity of what's on the market. The real problem is the CEO and the in-house recruiters who are okay to pay 25%, 30% fees on candidates, one-hit candidates that might last 7 or 8 months, instead of spending that same 10 grand on investing in their business, investing in their in-house recruiters, investing in looking after their people. And that's the, you know, you're right. The mindset from the recruitment's perspective is we can go, we're salespeople, we're entrepreneurial, right? You're hired as a recruiter, as an agency recruiter, to go into a company and help them grow. So that means you've got to get on the phone, you've got to talk to people, you've got to interview them, you've got to do whatever you can to get those people through the door, and you help the growth of the company. But that's not how you really grow businesses, you know. Like you really grow businesses by investing in the core things that make the business work properly. And I think that that actually sits with the CEO more than anything else. And the conversations that I have with the, and this is why I love working with startups. I love working with innovative CEOs that want to make a difference to the people that they employ, and that want to do employment really, really well. Like, those are the clients that I'm interested in talking to, because they get it. They want to invest in their business. They don't just want to spend the fees. But that's not even 1% of the people I talk to. Like, you know, I probably get I don't know, four or five approaches a day. Tris, would you like to come work with us? Would you work on this? Can you help me fill this job? Can you do this? And I turned most of them down just from looking at their company and looking at how they employ people. Like, and I'm just like, no, because and I suppose that goes back to this community thing. Like, my brand is how I help people get jobs and I help them get good jobs. And if I know I'm working with a company that's not a good job, then I have to walk away from it.
Yeah, that's an interesting way of looking at it. Another way would be that there are all right people for all right jobs. There's great people for great jobs. Is there not a job for the right person out there for everyone?
I think there's a job for everybody, and to put that in perspective, mate, like one of my clients is people that hire babysitters on 5 hour a week contracts, and there's people in stud they're students, right? And they're people with, like, they're people that've got no degrees and need a job. I think. But because I know that that agency is a good employer and they employ them correctly and they help train them and they help look after those people and they invest in them, and the recruiters that work in that agency love their employer as well, and the business is, like, that's the right thing. Like, you don't have to be a whiz kid coder who, like, who's got a degree from MIT. I'm talking about, real people. And I think that there's so much, like, you're right, like there is a job for everybody. I fundamentally believe that. And indeed, like, I that's one of the reasons why I went to work with Indeed, because with Indeed you can hire anybody anywhere and for free most of the time if you're good at writing, and it helps everyone find a job. And I think that that's kind of like one of those things that really is like part of my
Everybody's complaining to me about them, by the way, at the moment.
being.
Yeah,
Really?
their new pricing structure, their bang for the buck, they've increased their costs. Just been on
I'm
the
still writing good job ads and filling jobs for free on that. I
I
think people, yeah, I don't think people are just rubbish at writing job ads, mate.
maybe I'm going to have to connect you with somebody then who needs a bit of advice. So let's jump into how you could make money from growth hacking recruiters without damaging your brand. That's, I think I have some thoughts on that.
Go on. I'm keen. What do you think I should do?
Yeah, so I would look at a multi-pronged approach. I think that's a word or a phrase. I suppose the first thing you probably want to be thinking is, if you have this brand where startups are coming to you and you're not able to fill all those positions, you probably want to create a split partnership network where you could use people in the group to source the positions in the way, in an agreeable manner that would allow you to give them 50% of the fee. So, and these would be stuff that, might be just slightly outside of what you're doing. And that way you're giving back to the community and you're feeding yourself and you're helping your clients. So that would be the first thing I would do. And then the next thing I'd probably think about would be, what do I know that I think is common sense but probably isn't, which is going to be way more than you realize. So I would audit a couple of recruitment agencies and work out what they're doing. I then document everything that could improve that, and then I create a manual based on that. Then I would sell the manual. I would probably charge an extra bit if you needed to go in and implement it, and then an ongoing fee if they needed you to be an advisor on that. So that's just off the top of my head. How's that sound?
I really like the idea of helping the people in the group get leads and helping my network fill jobs. I think that's really, really interesting. Do you know what I call my company? Did I tell you this story?
No.
I call my company the Flying Gang. Have you heard of that? Do you know what that is?
No, what is it?
It's a group of pirates, right?
Oh, don't be saying that in the recruitment world. I've already had a war the other week on that.
And I know, like, I look, okay, I mean, for me, right, like, this is stupid. I grew up sailing boats, so I like pirates. And I don't think recruiters are pirates in any way.
You know, there's
But
the recruitment advisory board called the Pirates, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And I know that they're really, really old school, right? And they're run by some pretty evil people.
We're not allowed to say that.
Well,
Although I did call him, I did call him worse than that the other week on here.
yeah, well, I mean, I don't know what you call them. I just like, I don't think they're very nice people at all. And I think that actually a lot of recruitment is full of those not very nice people, actually. But anyway, look, we always think of the word pirates as the same way as we think of the word hackers. We think they're evil and they're going to come and take us over. But like hackers were actually experts. The word hack is someone who is an expert at something. And pirates were actually privateers. They were employed by the government. They were sailors who were so good at what they did, and it was soldiers that were so good at what they did that they were employed by different governments, and you know, the Brits and the French and the Spanish in the times of, you know, all this gold coming from South America. You'd probably think the government was the pirates at that point, really, in terms of what they were doing. The Flying Gang was a group of famous ex-privateers turned outlaws during that kind of post-Spanish succession period. And what they did is they built the pirate haven of Nassau. And it was the Pirate Republic. And we think pirate is a bad word all the time, but I'm not thinking pirate is a bad word. I'm thinking pirate as a privateer, as in like someone who is upset with the system and the way that it works and wants to be an independent person. I don't want you to think about going around and raping and pillaging. I want you to think about like people.
I know, but all I can think of is Gary Goldsmith, you know. I can't. Like, I think we need to drop the pirate thing. I think he owns it. I think he's dirty that name.
Like, I was like, I went on my rant about my beautiful utopic island where recruiters have a great life and they're looked after by people and they, you know, they work for themselves and they create a better world for everybody instead of like, you know, instead of being oh, shit on by crappy recruitment leaders and stupid CEOs and like, yeah.
It's a tough gig, but when you get it right, you get rewarded well, and that's kind of.
You know, it's really funny, right? Because I trained as a chef, so like, when you're a chef, like the reward and the gratification is giving someone a dinner that they like really really enjoy, and maybe something which is memorable for their whole life. When you give someone a new job and you help them change careers, you are always their friend and you have this relationship with them, which goes beyond anything I've ever felt. And, you know, for me, that's amazing. And that's why I do my job, because those long-term relationships, like, I mean, I can still, the first placement I ever made, who was an IT manager, I still talk to him and I still call him up and he still calls me up. Probably once every 6 months, not that often, but you know, like he's on my mailing list. Like he like gets pictures of my babies.
Tech is great for that, you know. I find RectorX not quite as much. Like, we're almost encouraged in agency, you know, to leave them alone once they're not our property anymore. And we've had that vibe a couple of times. So,
But you help people move countries, right?
and that's a great thing. Look, that like I wouldn't do this if we didn't do that, because I get a wee taste of what life was like for kids, you know, with fun and sport and beer and all the wonderful stuff and the camaraderie of living abroad. And
I'm 5 month old and I live abroad and I travel.
Where have I got it all wrong then?
Do you know what? I think we're really lucky that we and here's something that like we taught our little one to sleep anywhere. She has a tent. We have all kitted up. We're always prepared to travel, and we do it all the time. And that's a really big part of our life. We're off to Asia for 10 weeks, in 3 or 4 weeks' time now.
Oh, I'm jealous. I am jealous. I find it hard to move with two kids under two, so it's
2 kids under two is definitely not possible. But you'll get them used to it again, and you'll be back off traveling, back off the road, when your podcast hits 1 million views, and you're like the most famous startup recruiter out there.
Startup recruiter, hey? That would be great,
Well,
wouldn't it?
isn't it? That's what it's called, right? The recruitment startup.
It is. We're probably going to change the name.
Really?
Probably going to just call it my name, and go from there with everything, just because it's all about me, you know.
I think you're telling your I think what you're doing though is you're telling your journey, and like if you want to get involved in, you know, like you joined the Growth Hack and Recruiters after it had been around a couple of months, I think. And the first, like, it wasn't very credible. Like, I was seeing your posts, and I wasn't letting you post in there, right? And you're probably like, God, this guy's so annoying. And I was watching you, like, I was watching you create the content, and I was watching you grow, and I was like, and I was listening to the podcast, and I was like, actually, like, this is really interesting, the way this guy's doing this, and the way that you're so honest with people and you're so authentic with people and you're having real conversations. And actually, like, if you're trying to build a community and you're not being honest and you're not being authentic and you're not being yourself, like, it just doesn't work every time. So, like, you know, and there's some parts of my life that I try and avoid talking about, but I'm pretty open with everything. Like, you know, from like, oh my God, you know, my wife's got a hangover and can't like work. I can't work because she's hangover. To,
yeah.
Like, you know, like, I think you have to be really like, I think that's the thing. And I really see that as the future. Like recruiters, you go into an agency, and I worked in an agency where they wouldn't let me grow a beard. And they told me I had to wear a suit to work every day. And I was hiring tech people, and everyone's in bloody t-shirts and like trainers. And I'm like, this is stupid.
Yeah.
Why am I working?
I think a lot of people have changed that approach since, you know, they're steering the other direction, aren't they?
I hope they get it. Like, and
what
I think
what
about
was
like
the shit
like,
post I was putting in your group at the start? I can't remember.
The same post you were putting in every group, man. And the podcast wasn't that interesting. It was just you interviewing people. Now you get on the phone and you're like, why is it like, why do you do this? Like, what's going on with that? You know, it's better. It's more interesting now.
Well, I mean, it just depends on, it depends on where you're at with it. You have to practice these things. Like, it gets easier to interview people after you've done it a few times, but it's only more interesting to you know because you've been following it and because you're kind of in the story. But I'm sure if some other version of you out there heard it straight away, they'd be like, who's this mad Irish man, like, what's he on about? And then as soon as you get in, then you kind of build that bit of, I don't know what it is, if it's trust or recognition or whatever it is.
I think that's the same though with growth, like with any community you build. Like, I think that's the same with Growth Hack and Recruiters. Like, on Facebook, I'd never built a Facebook group before, and it was purely an exercise to see if I could build a Facebook group. For the first 2 months, it was just like, does Facebook groups actually work? And then we had like 250 people in there, and I was like, okay, so this is quite real, I better get good at this. And then you know, and then I had a baby, so like nothing happened for 2 months. And it got really, really quiet. And then and then I was like, what do we do with this? And then in September we were like, right, actually, like, let's turn on the juice here and see what we can do to really turn this into a community. And it just blew up from there. And now, like, oh my God, mate, like, the poor ad, we have like three admins working on the back end, and they're just like, and they've got real recruitment jobs. And they're like, oh my God, it's stopped. Like, we probably get like 20 requests a day to join. Like, we get like so much inbound. We get like 6-7 posts a day. We're like, oh, is it good? Are we not sure? Is that right? Like, you know, I think it's a, And it just becomes a load of work all of a sudden.
Yeah, it does strike me that some of it inspires me to set up a Facebook group, and some of it, the amount of curation you do, turns me off doing it as well, because I'm like, fuck, it's a lot of work. And I can see it. I'm like, oh, if that takes him probably 20 minutes, that would take me 2 hours. Oh, I'm gonna have to train somebody to do it so I don't have to do it. And I start thinking of all the complexities of it. But my inbox is hammered all day long from people wanting to start recruitment businesses, and it's probably a direction that I'm going to go in terms of setting up a Facebook group and seeing where that what that leads to. So we will be setting one up. It won't be too dissimilar to what DSP's group is. Probably more stuff that I'm more interested in. He's quite into Facebook ads and his lighthouse method, which is fine, but it's probably there's other things that I'm kind of more interested in, you know. So what can I do? How can I set this up and make it good?
So,
What should I avoid doing?
frame it like right at the beginning, right? And watching other people, and Hung Lee set Facebook groups up, and we didn't do that. Was right at the beginning, don't just be one person. Get someone else to do it with you. Get someone who's invested as heavily as you are in the outcome as well. So don't forget, I set it up with Jan, who was very invested in the fact that growth hacking recruiters should be a trend, because he wrote that as his prediction for 2018. And he's brilliant at it. So that's the first thing. Get a partner. Make sure that you frame it in the right way to begin with. So get like put some rules in place in terms of like you can do this in the group, you can't do that. And then and we because I made that, I didn't do that, and that was wrong. And we've had to figure out along the way how to do that. But it was an exploration, right? Like this was an exploration. And then do something which you're going to do regularly. Like you're doing this show, so like do something in the group that no one else gets anywhere else. So like for me, like I blog into my group, right? Like I'm always like dropping like what I'm thinking, like what I'm working on. Like that's always going in the group, and it's always just me documenting. So I post what once every day in the week, and people are like, "That's crazy," but like actually, it becomes really easy once you practice. And you get good at it, and the Facebook posts get quicker. And but do something like that. Do something that you're like, I'm going to do this every day, or I'm going to do this not every day, but I'm going to do this like once a week, maybe. And give them a reason to come back. That's the thing. Like you want to give people a reason to come back and show up in the group, right? Get some value out of it. I think that's what I would start with. Like those three simple things. Like get a partner. Make the rules really obvious, make the purpose really obvious, and do something regularly in the group.
I think I've had chats with a couple other people. All right, it's a it I suppose it's I suppose when I was thinking of setting it up around the podcast, then I was like, oh, it kind of be weird to do that with somebody else. I don't know. It's a tough one. Like if I'm thinking of going down the coaching route in the future, if I set up a Facebook group, and do you do that with other people who are kind of in that world? Like say like Dave Hume, for example, he has his independent recruiters thing, or one of the other recruitment to recruiters guys that I know. I don't know. I suppose they're all the questions I'd have to ask myself.
And remember that communities only work when you elevate the people within them.
Yeah, same with a podcast. It's the same thing. You have to make other people the star of the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. You elevate people within, so that's a good point. So they need to be getting something out of it, whether that's their own content being shared or whether how do you elevate one when they're in a group?
Say thank you for sharing. Say well done. What a great question. As simple as that sometimes.
You do other things though, don't you? Like you like have league tables, and like you like show like, oh, who's got the best post, and all of this stuff. So you kind of you're
Oh yeah, mate. I got some wicked plans for what I'm going to be doing with the group as well. Like, I'm going to bring out a monthly report on how the so we had league we were playing with gamification in terms of like recognition, league tables, that kind of stuff, and we're going to be posting those at the end of the month now, and it's going to be a thing. But like, one of the things that I wanted to do was like create like little vox pops from the creators within the community, and from the recruiters in the community. Like next on my list of my list of a bazillion things to do, next on my list of things is how do I showcase the people behind the community and showcase the people within it. So I want to do like 6, 7, 8 minute little things for my YouTube channel, because my YouTube channel is a bit dead at the moment. Where I interview people and they come on the show, and we do really, really quick, like, this is who I am, this is where I, from the community. And then also like creators, like the guy who created that job ad with Theresa May, which is on my LinkedIn right now and going completely bananas.
Oh, do you know
Like,
who that is?
Sam, oh, I can't remember, right? Sam O'Day or something.
Wow, that was an amazing ad, hey?
Mate, it's that is the best like recruitment ad I've seen in a long time. I think it's bang on the money for Britain, right, as well. Like, it's just like, I think we're all like, how the hell is she still doing that job? And she's still like showing up every day. But yeah, no, for me, like, I really feel like how do I, now we've got to like 2,000, how do we get it to 10,000? But I want to show people the growth hacks that I've been doing to build the community on the back end.
Yeah.
Like, how do we build it? And actually, like, it's my test bed. So, and it always has been my test bed, and I've always been really open about it. So I'm gonna show people, and one of the things that we've built this year. So it's at the beginning of the year, you probably remember, I was like, I'm changing everything. I'm like deleting people. I'm like doing all this kind of stuff. Like, I did that, and now we have a much better onboarding process, and we have a much better like tracking of the data behind it as well, so we can track like what our inbound is like as well, and actually test on our inbound and where it's coming from.
Is that all from Facebook, or does Fa
Yeah, well, it's all stuff that we built on top of
Oh,
Facebook.
wow.
So a little bit of, well, I'm gonna give all the secrets away on my mailing list, on the Growth Hacker mailing list, at the end of the month, and show everyone how we did it. It's a nice little hack as well. You can use it in recruitment really easily. And yeah, and that kind of stuff, like showing, like, so they're not just talking, but showing like this is what we're doing to build the group. This is how, like, this is what's working. This is what's not working. Because it's really funny, because I get lots of people, and this is the thing. Like, I don't know, maybe your brand is getting that big now. I get lots of people approach me and like, oh, would you like to guest post on my blog? And I'm like, actually, I think my following is bigger than yours, so I'm not really interested in guest posting on your blog, Mr. HR Tech Company, actually. But I can write blogs for you, and you can pay me to do it.
Really?
I'm going to be doing that. I think there's content marketing to do. Like,
I'd guest blog anywhere for free.
you get, yeah, I don't think I should guest blog for free, because like I've never done it before. So
Fair enough.
SourceCon, I guest blog, right? But I'm also like, I was in the Grandmaster Finals for SourceCon. Like, I've been like an avid reader forever. Like,
Wait, you're not charging
that's.
me for this, are you?
No, but because you contribute, mate. Like, you show up in my group every day. So, like, how do I make you better? How do I show you the inside of my brain?
The inside of your brain. Wow, we have gone full circle on this, eh? All right, before we go, what one piece of advice would you give to recruiters out there? What's the best piece of advice you've received in recent times? Okay, what's the best piece of
Just,
advice you've given to somebody else in recent times?
I think like whatever, like, and be yourself. Like, be who you are and have real conversations with candidates. Ask them what they want to do. Like, that is like the best piece of advice, because if you have those conversations with recruiters, with candidates, and with other recruiters, but with whoever you're talking to, your client is a candidate. Get to know them really, really well. And the only way you get to build relationships really well with people is by being yourself.
There you go, authenticity. Stave the robots away.
Well, yeah. I mean, I got robots, so robots just scale your personality, man.
That's one way to look at it. All right, I better go get prepared. I've got Thai boxing tonight. I've
Nice, man.
signed up for a white collar boxing fight in just under 9 weeks' time. So I'm trying to get my aging body and mind back in to the game. So I'll send you my Just Giving link. Maybe you'll post it and maybe it'll get past your detailed forensic eye and into your group.
I'd love to post that, mate, and I'd love to see the stream as well. I'll watch it from a beach in Bali.
Oh, lovely, lovely. All right, well, thanks so much for
Thanks for
coming
having
on and sharing your insight into community building. And well, just letting us into the inside of your amazing brain.
Thank you very much for having me. Love the podcast. Keep up the good work, mate.
Happy hunting.
Cheers.
Well, some of that was pretty awesome. Some of it was a bit random. And I think he knows a lot of stuff about a lot of things, and he's got a unique perspective on the industry. He's excellent at building communities, and he's really got a skill for engaging with his community, and he's built up quite a following based on that. So I thought that was quite interesting. I don't know what he was going on about pirates and all of that about, but we kept him on track. We got him back in. We reined him in a little bit. But yeah, always a great guest. Second appearance on. Hopefully one, just that's two of many times that we'll have Tris on, because he's a lot to contribute. Very much like Hung Lee. You can see they both hung out a bit, spent time dissecting the industry's problems over a beer, and they've both found their little niche in the world and how they operate and trying to make recruitment better or in their own image. So always interesting to have a conversation with them. And it's always good to speak to people who he's kind of running an agency, he's kind of a consultant, so it's different to the standard 360 agency owner that that we speak to a lot of the time. So big thanks to Tris. Big thanks to all of you for listening and for supporting the podcast. And if you want to come on the podcast, just reach out to me on LinkedIn. We'll get you booked in. We're recording most days now. And if you have any suggestions on content that we could create from the podcast, that would be great. And the purpose of getting Tris on was to talk about how we're going to launch our own Facebook group, because many of you don't have time to listen to the 90 hours of content I've produced so far. So we want to be able to give you the exact highlight and solve all the problems that you're facing. And hopefully we can do that in a way that we can all learn together and do that in a Facebook group. We're not quite there yet to set it up, but we will do in the next month or so once my wife returns to the business and gives me a bit of a helping hand with things whenever she's not busy taking care of these two kids under two. She's looking forward to coming back, let me tell you. All right. Thanks again, guys, and we will be back tomorrow. Happy hunting.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.